There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, go.
Are you challenging me?
Do you want to go, bro?
I will lie. Hello. It's been a long time.
Yay, like, you're in the next BMF, right?
No, I'm not in the actual show, but I did some workings with the show.
Okay. Makes sense, because you obviously got a whole perspective.
But they need to put me on the next season, if not this one, for sure.
Because you were part of it.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
I was there, bro. Yeah, Who's playing me, bro?
I played me.
You some AI, just make me look younger.
Yeah. So obviously the biggest story around you, because it's what helped propel you even further. Actually, no, let's start with the mixtapes.
Okay.
And then we'll get into the Rico.
Yeah.
So, Gangsta Grills.
Gangsta Grills.
That's Lil Jon, right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
He was the first one to host Gangsta Grills.
So that's right. His voice is the tag.
Yeah, that's how I got the tag. He didn't host the first Gangsta Grills, but he was the first host of Gangsta Grills, like part 4.
Got you.
Yeah.
So we had access to it through Dat Piff.
Yeah.
Is that how it was first distributed?
No, it was first distributed on physicals, on actual CDs through me. I mean, or the bootleggers. Bootleggers did a lot for me. They did a lot for me. I mean, they did a lot for a lot of people, but you know, I definitely thank them. Like, they were definitely selling more Gangsta Grills than I was in the early days, thankfully, you know, and probably made a lot more money than I did in those days. But you know, they got it to where it needed to be.
My friend was selling it in school too.
Fire.
Imagine just downloading that Piff and burning it onto CD.
Please tell Sean I said thank you.
I was his neighbor. He sold it to me. I was like,
it wasn't that y'all were listening to it on Dat Piff, but people would take it from Dat Piff and then put it on physicals?
Bring it to school. Sell it in school.
Oh, that's smart. You know? Yeah, I got you. That makes sense, because back then we used to look at Dat Piff like the bad guy.
Oh, yeah. Because
they used to be able to download free CDs off there.
And that's true, because you lot were selling it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hustle for us. Like,
that's
it was
true.
Like, yo, you know, fuck y'all niggas. Like, y'all are, you know, that's why early on Lil Wayne said, fuck Dat Piff, because it was like, Dat Piff was a site where it was free download. Obviously, that became the future blueprint. You know, I came up on sites like MixUnit and Tape Masters, and
right.
where people would go and actually buy.
Yeah, we weren't on that.
Nah,
Piff was the shit.
That was it.
Yeah.
You get everything there. Volume 1 to 16. That's all there.
Dat Piff was amazing. I made a lot of money with Dat Piff. I made more money with Dat Piff than I did in the era before the Rico. Like, there was some
households. Was it selling the tape through, so, or like exclusivity?
Exclusivity.
Right.
Exclusivity.
So
yeah, like,
some money breaking.
So when people would come during that era, when people would come to me about doing a tape, I'd be like, I'm with it, you know, but we have to drop it on Dat Piff first. So Dat Piff would literally pay me to be exclusive to them. So they would get all these projects. You
Who
know?
Owns it?
A brother by the name of KP.
Right.
And I think he had partners then. I know he sold it.
He sold.
Yeah, he sold it since. But
you know,
they was making a lot of money.
Yeah.
They made a lot of money. I mean, to the point where, you know, after it started with cutting a few select DJs checks, and then started to cut artist checks too. So yeah. Obviously, even outside of exclusivity, when I'm doing like a dedication with Wayne, it's you know, I can't tell Wayne, all right, we have to drop it on that Biff.
Yeah.
Wayne, we're gonna drop it wherever Wayne wants to
yeah,
drop
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So then, you know, KP would also get in business with the artists and started cutting the artists real checks. Like, you know, it was some real money floating around in those days. But let me backtrack a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, originally, like, you know, I really started with just like a store list. Mm-hmm. And that's how I would move my CDs. So I would either go to, like, y'all have flea markets?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would go to like flea markets where they would sell mixtapes. I would go to like little mixtape stores, and then I would just kind of like just call stores outside of my area. And, you know, interestingly enough, like if I would call like stores that were, you know, going more up, you know, up north, you know, the more up north I got, the more I would get like, we don't really listen to like down south mixtapes here.
Mm.
And I'll just be like, all right, I'm going to just send you a box. Like, check them out. You know, one thing I made sure I did was I always had super dope artwork. You know, my packaging was always like super fly. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I would send people boxes of like 10 tapes and stuff like that. And just when I would go city to city, I would take like 100, 200 tapes with me and, you know, just go to stores and pretty much give them out, like give them to the stores. And just like hopefully they would sell. And
you guys say like you had good like artwork, but the artwork was shit though.
No, that's
it would be like you put your head on like Tony Montana like shooting.
Nah, I wasn't.
Nah, you got like nah, two nah, guns nah, like nah, head just pasted nah, on there.
Nah, I didn't do those.
I see Max B do that a lot.
That is part of mixtape culture.
And I need to know it's a mixtape.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But no, nah, but let's be real. Like, dedication is art. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
yeah, course,
real
yeah.
art. You know, to this day, people still copy that cover and do their own imitation of it.
That's like, the red one, isn't it?
That's the red and white one.
Yeah, it's quite slony.
Right. Yeah.
The sketchy one. Look up, like, Dedication Tour, Dedication 1. And then... You know, like, you know, slowly but surely, like, gangster grills just started to become a thing, you know, definitely in Atlanta. Yeah, you like that one's
yeah,
dope,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. I've seen that in quite a few places.
Like, definitely
well.
In Atlanta, like, you know, it started to just kind of take over. Like, you know, it was the go-to, like, mixtape. And that was always my thing, like, just to kind of build a brand, like, even before I was, you know, I've really paid attention in my marketing class in college.
Mm.
And I just, you know, like I knew how important branding and marketing was. So I was like, all right, if I can make Gangsta Grills hot, like then I can get DJ Drama hot. But if I create this platform, like I can build this brand. Mm. And like when niggas go to the store, if they see a Gangsta Grills, like they don't care to see the playlist. That was my goal.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They don't need to see the playlist. Like, oh, that's the new Gangsta Grills. I need that. Like, give me that. So that's what I set out to do. And like, you know, that shit caught on like hotcakes. So by the time the era of like the post 50 Cent era, when it was like mixtapes became all based around one artist, you know, the first Gangsta Grills like that was with T.I. And his manager, his partner, Jason Jeter, came to me with the idea like, yo, cause up to like, I did like 15 volumes of Gangsta Grills where it was just, you know, compilations where it wasn't based around one artist. And like, I think I got to like 8 or 9 and then I did the tip Gangsta Grills. And when it came to me with the idea, I was like, finally, like, this is what I've been wanting to do. You know, I just needed an artist that it made sense to do it with me. Cause then that was the only place you could get that music. So it was like, you know, then it really stood out from the rest. Cause it was like, and Tip was on fire, like in the South. Like he was
underrated, man.
He was smoking, you know what I'm saying? So it was like DJ Drama, Gangsta Grills, T.I. Oh, yeah, I need that. And so by the time me and Jeezy connected, you know, as when Gangsta Grills being a brand, when we did our first tape, The Streets Is Watching, here's this new artist that, like, is kind of being introduced through Gangsta Grillz. Yeah, like, yeah, Gangsta yeah. Grillz was more known than Young Jeezy at the time. And then, like, that was the only place you could get that music. So every club was playing the music. So everybody had to hear my voice. You know what I mean? So it did, like, so much for me and my career. Like, the Trap or Die DVD is the first time people ever saw what I looked like.
No one knew.
They thought I was, like, dark skin and fat as shit.
Do you think that hurt?
They got like, that as well, didn't it?
Who?
Well, like people thought that you was
big. No, bare people, because I used to film from behind the camera. And talk from behind the camera. I wasn't on camera.
So yeah, they thought he was fat.
Yeah. He was a big guy.
We don't fat shame over here anyway. So that's like the distribution side. What about like the production? So it's a mixtape. It could have anywhere between 10, 20 or more artists on. How did that work and operate? You got everyone to come to the studio, or how did the actual making of these mixtapes go?
It all depended. I mean, it varied from project to project, but a lot of it, you know, sometimes we'd be in the studio cooking up. A lot. Sometimes people would pretty much hand deliver me the project, and I would just kind of go in and do my part. I would, you know, have beat suggestions, or they would say, "Yo, I need instrumentals." That was a big thing in that day, especially in the days of just like rapping over other people's beats.
Yeah.
There were instrumental CDs, or I would have. I remember still even having vinyl at the time, but like. You know, getting artists instrumental. Like I would come to Wayne with like four or five instrumental CDs, and just let them pick throughout and shit like that. So, you know, but you don't. It's a mixtape. It's literally the Wild Wild West. You don't have to worry about any clearances or paperwork or none of that. You know, this is before the streaming era of the quote unquote mixtape. So anything goes. You can do whatever you want. You can have whatever features, whatever beats, like. Do whatever. Not have to worry. You don't have to clear no samples. You don't have to.
Yeah. Mixtape was crazy. I mean, I'm sure like producers were probably like, "Fucking hell, we ain't getting paid as much as we should be."
I don't even know if anybody was thinking about it at the time, because now it's in a space where, like, you think about the mixtapes that are going up. Like, there's certain mixtapes that are on streaming platforms.
And, yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, if I was a producer, I would sign off on it because it's free money at this point. You know, but if so-and-so is rapping on your beat and it gets hot, like, you're not getting anything for that. It's just, it's exposure. But now, you know, looking back on it, it's like there were so many... like red tape that was just being shitted on that nobody cared about. That's why I say it's the Wild Wild West, because anything went. Like, you could do whatever you wanted.
Yeah, like no ceilings, all that kind of. Fucking hell, this guy's just ripping up every Max B. I was like, if this guy jumps to your beat, it might be over for you. Like, we might not care about the original no more.
Absolutely. Like, that was the gift and the curse of having Wayne on your beat.
Because they're like, he did it better than the original.
He did it better than the original.
You know? What's recording with Wayne like?
It's insane. Like, you know, he doesn't write anything down. He's a workhorse. Like, you know, he's very quick. And he knocks it out. Like, it's watching him work is kind of like. Is legendary. You know, and you just think about how his brain works to come up with some of that shit.
And how quick
he comes up with it. Like, I'm like, man, does this nigga take notes in like the off time? Like,
yeah.
You know, and he literally only like watches sports, but he knows so much about the world and what's going on. Yeah. Doesn't really listen to music, as he says, but it, like a nigga. When you hear his bars, it's like, yo, how are you so in tune? Like,
what's the coldest like back to back you've seen? Because I think people talk about the Jay-Z Cameron one quite often. Is it We Built This City?
Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York City.
Yeah, Welcome to New York City. Have you seen a back to back like that live?
Oh, like in the studio?
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you a rare one. I don't one of the ones that I definitely remember was what was Dazz and Tip called? I'm So Fly. My Life. I saw Dazz and T.I. record My Life. Was that trap music or was that Urban Legend? Urban Legend. Mm. It was Urban Legend. They recorded that at Grand Hustle Studios, which then became my studios where the raid happened. But I saw them record that back to back, maybe like 04, and I was blown away.
Mm. Well, I forgot to check it properly and
crazy, see crazy. What they did.
That's the first one that came to my mind. I've seen a couple though. I'll think of some more.
Mm. So when does the Rico happen?
07, January 17th, 2007. Mm. So I'm
damn.
Like,
the day they tried that, to take you, your life. Yeah. When you got a date like that, shit, you never forget. Fuck. Yeah,
I'm like bro. 3 years, I'm like 2.5 years in on being hot, like feeling myself. The world is mine, and it shit all folded right like that. Like, damn, they tried to take me out.
I'm shocked damn. They didn't give the money back.
Yeah, they gave some of it back. They gave, we had, it was two different accounts. So the account that the white people's money was in, they gave that back.
So is that like the label money?
Yeah, the account that the label's money was in, they gave that back. The account that said Drama Like the DJ, or not even Drama Like the DJ at the time, but whatever my account was called, the DJ Drama account, they kept all that. They said we can't differentiate what money is what money, so we're just gonna have to keep
take
this.
It.
Yeah. So was it BMF issues or was it just because you didn't put something on the back of the tape?
That's what they told me. They said we're keeping this because the law that you violated was the true name law. That you there was not an address on the back of the CD, and you remember back then, or y'all might have just been getting CDs, but the cases were just like all black. There was nothing on the back of the CD. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and go look at any CD, any physical CD, I'm not sure if the law exists here, but you know, if it comes from the States, like there's an address of some sort on a CD.
Mm. Right.
Whose address did they want?
You know,
it didn't matter. I probably could have got away with anything. Damn. Technically, like it could have been a post PO box. They just it doesn't say in the law doesn't say it has to be a specific address. It just has to be a address. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Mm. I'm trying to fight that, but
because at the time, you know, I was just thankful that they were willing to drop the charges to a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
I wasn't in jail. You know, I was like. Yeah, I didn't think we had much of a case to fight, to be honest. And, you know, the publicity that I got from it and, you know, the platform that it put me on was like paying for itself. So I don't, you know, when it was all kind of said and done after it actually happened, you know, I definitely was always at the time like salty about the money, but I could tell that, you know, like, I had other monies obviously besides that account, and I was working, so
yeah,
you know, I was in a good space. So I'm like, you know, thankfully I've made it back tenfold. But the type of space that it put me in of really like celebrity in a sense like that, you know, I was known before then, but like it was different, like, you know, like I was known in a mixtape type of world, but like I remember going to an event after that happened, and like, you know, women and just different ages and social backgrounds were kind of recognizing me or, you know, asking to take pictures and stuff. So it was like, oh, this thing might work to my favor.
You become notorious.
Yeah,
kind of gave you street cred.
Real shit. You know what I mean? Like, and I remember even hearing stories years later, like from the RIAA, about how they, you know, they, whoever like orchestrated the raid or anything, the people at the company were kind of hot at them because they also saw and felt like, yeah, you guys made this guy even hotter than he was. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Billboard put me on the cover, like, and Billboard had just recently told me, like, we don't put DJs on our cover, you know, and then they came asking for the story. I was I was on the cover of Source, Double XL, like. It was a good, it was an interesting time.
Good, bruv.
You know, why a Rico, like, for mixtapes?
Shit's crazy. I mean.
What'd you do?
Bro, it wasn't.
You're stitching yourself.
They didn't fight.
I'm even like, Vlad, sorry.
That false wall, boy. FBI behind that wall right there.
We got him.
Come you see Vlad come out.
Shit, real, thinking of that, when I think back, like, one of the reasons Vlad TV is Vlad TV is because of that raid. Like, Vlad said, fuck this mixtape shit. I gotta figure out another hustle.
Yeah. Like, that's true. Yeah.
Real shit.
That's very true.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm not. After they saw me get knocked, everybody was like, oh,
this is scary out there.
Yeah, if they gonna go after Drum, nobody's safe.
Nah. Like,
so a lot of people pivoted and, you know, went in different directions for the hustle.
Damn.
I really have no idea. I mean, I think that they probably, for the most part, thought that whenever they did their investigation, first of all, you hear Gangsta Grills.
Mm. That's one thing with, like, you guys picked the worst names ever.
What is it like?
When I think about the name DJ Drama, it definitely was
Yeah. Even a self-fulfilling prophecy since he started. 16.
The guy was like, oh, I got something for you, boy. And I'm thinking, like, when they did their surveillance and what have you, looked at the studio, they knew they was coming in there and finding some keys and some guns.
Because
as soon as they bust down the door, you know, we had some interns in there. There was college students. They were like, yo, tell us the fuck where the guns and the drugs are. Like, where they at? You know, they bust through the roof, like,
oh, shit.
Do shit over. Like, they was looking.
With the ropes.
They was looking.
Oh, the SWAT to you.
They came down the ropes. The rappel.
Might as well.
You know what I mean? They were jumping.
Damn.
Might as well have. They was looking for that shit. For sure. So, and they, thank God they came on like a Monday morning.
And we just switched it
on. No, there was that.
New shipment ain't come in yet. You know? We're dry. So I was reading up.
Find nothing. Not a spliff, not a 9mm.
Fantastic.
So, like, when they went on the news, thankfully, like, because, you know, even if they would have found like a backwood and a handgun.
Yeah.
They would have said, we found some guns and drugs.
Yeah.
They wasn't able to say that. They was like, yeah, we found some fucking mixtapes. Like, so.
And they took that.
Yeah, they took all the mixtape. They confiscated all those.
Then those verses unreleased, or did anything of that?
Yeah, well, they took the hard drive from my album, and it got corrupted.
Oh shit!
It got corrupted. Terrible. We had to go back and redo a bunch of songs and verses.
With verses, like, how do you, like, do you get shit verses, and what do you do?
For
you, like, because you must get people that send you something, and you're like, this is.
A couple times.
What do you do? Do you tell them?
Depends who, innit?
Depends who. If I have a good relationship with them, or I tell them, or there's been a couple verses I haven't used. There's been a couple verses.
Did they beef you after that?
Because
I'll be pissed. I'll be like, yeah, man, that's the verse, the drama. Like, I hear the tape dropping. It's like, bruv, what the fuck's my verse, bruv?
I'm not on the track list.
That happened to Herbo recently with Ye, innit?
Who that?
G Herbo's verse didn't make it with Ye.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but it happened. G Herbo.
On what?
Donda, baby.
Is it Donda? Donda? Okay.
Yeah.
Damn, and everyone was Donda.
I know that happened with Soulja Boy and Donda. Didn't Kanye say his shit was ass?
He was going crazy.
I want to hear the verse now. You want to hear that shit. Soulja needs to release it. But so how many Gangsta Grills did you drop?
They say there's like 150. I think on someone has a list of like 150, 160, but this was a couple years ago. Maybe I feel like it's been like 6 or 7 years since that list came out. So we might be at like 200.
Damn.
Yeah, we might be like 200.
Big work. And then the first solo Gangsta Grills was T.I., but then Crenshaw
Yeah.
He's also
a gangster girl.
They've done you dirty on that, man.
Dirty, but I know what you mean, because we wouldn't know unless
I didn't know. Yeah, unless you research, unless you hear you say it, I didn't know. I was like,
That one is a little. I'm a little salty about that.
Yeah,
because like if you don't know and you hear it, like if you weren't there to hear it originally, like you, the only version you might know is the version without me on it.
Yeah,
but why did that happen? Do you know?
I mean, it was just there was an era of like a DJ version and a no DJ version. I feel like I'm the reason for that, because some people think I'm annoying, so they do like a no DJ version.
Now sometimes you do too much though. You'll be like, we say like reloading it. You reload the tune, man. I'm, I just want to hear this song. just fucking play this song. But I do like the talking though. I think you're the best at talking.
Yeah.
You said some shit on some meat stuff. You're cold. He's coming up to me. He says shit. I'm like, I'm inspired by that one. He got me there.
I fuck with that.
Yes.
All right, mission accomplished.
Yeah. And he says some basic shit like, some people dream chase, but we chase our dreams. Yeah. And you're like, oh, that's some shit. Yeah. That's some real shit.
It's a
He says some shit. I'm like, yeah. He's the best at it. Well, everyone that talks, Cal is probably the most annoying. You don't have to say anything. I'll say it. Cal is probably the most annoying. Even though I like it, it's not no beef towards Cal. If you want to come on the show, it's fine. But Cal is probably the most annoying. But I think in terms of like someone that I'm like, oh yeah, he added value there. Like, I like that. I'll put you up there still.
Appreciate that.
Birdman's all right as well.
I love Birdman.
Birdman's all right.
That's my shit.
Who do you think like is... not better than you, but like, who do you think, all right, when they're on the track talking?
Definitely Dame Dash.
Dame's out there, yeah. Oh, do you know what it was called? Was it Ghost of Rich Porter? Or was it, American Gangster, Jim Jones. And he starts talking on that one, like, my nigga Jim Jones, and he starts talking about snitching.
Yeah.
See, nigga, oh, that was cold.
Dame's
cold.
Yeah, Dame is one of them ones. I would say Dame.
Yeah.
Dame inspires me. Outside of that, DJ wise, I don't think is nobody really fucking with me like that.
Man's actually searching like.
He's cold.
Birdman is cold.
Yeah. Birdman's all right.
I really like what Cam did on J. Cole's album. That was fire.
Mm-hmm.
That was cold.
What about you was obviously in between a huge beef in terms of you know, that sort of Jeezy and that
Gucci.
And sorry, what am I talking? And Gucci.
Yeah.
So how was you having to operate, because obviously it's all squashed and everything, which is huge, like massive. I think that versus everyone was like, whoa, something's gonna happen.
We were nervous.
And then Gucci pushed, he prodded at that bit. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I was there.
That, what was that like when he said that?
I thought it was about to be a shoot.
That was
I was watching
crazy.
On IG Live. Like, I'm going to turn this off.
I said, what did he say? Said, smoking on what? I said, huh? I said, nah, that's crazy.
He was in there.
Yeah, I was there. I went. I couldn't miss that.
Yeah.
I had to be there. I mean, surprisingly, I never felt like anything was gonna happen, because as real as it was, I knew that there was probably a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, yo, I'm gonna talk my shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I don't wanna confirm or deny, but there's not gonna be a versus between Jeezy and Gucci without some type of conversation between them as you know, beforehand. In my opinion, you know,
it wouldn't make sense.
I would think so. And you know that during that conversation, one might tell the other, like, "Yo, I'm coming at your neck." Or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever felt like, you know, and obviously both parties had like peoples with them. Ross was there. Ross came.
Right.
I'm just thinking about people that was in the building. And but I never, you know, I knew, I could tell it was gonna stay rap. Like, just, you know, I was at Magic City. And more than anything, I just know how mature those two gentlemen are at this stage in their lives. So, you know, it was just, it was legendary. But going back to your question.
Oh, just like when all of that was happening, you was kind of in the middle at one point.
For sure.
And obviously you went to sort of Gucci.
For sure.
And that must have been wild.
Like, yeah, how to describe it? I mean, really was probably the only time in my life that I've ever felt like I had to like look over my shoulder, you know, like during the time when me and Jeezy were at odds. And the only time I really just didn't like feel, you know, like just I had to move a little different. And really like, you know, I mean, I'm a fucking DJ, or, you know, I'm a kid who came to Atlanta to go to college. Like, I wasn't in the streets, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm in the streets selling mixtapes, but next thing you know, I look up and I'm fucking in between this hostile beef between these two street niggas who became rappers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is not what I signed up for, but I definitely, you know, when the first time that we were all able to amend things was a big moment in the city of Atlanta, because that beef affected a lot in the city. You know, like it really kind of like drew a line.
People had to pick
through
a side.
The middle. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to pick a side, like, or even if you didn't pick a side, like if one faction was in the building, like, don't speak, play, talk about the other side.
Yeah.
And you got to think, like, you know, there's a lot of employees on both sides, and that trickles down. So there may be two kids that go to school together, and one side does security for Gucci and the other side does security for Jeezy, and this beef is affecting them to that degree, you know, or
some generational beef.
Yeah, crazy. Like so-and-so shops with so-and-so, but this person, like, it was just a lot, bro. Like, in, you know, in the clubs, like, a DJ's job, and I'm not talking about myself specifically, but just in general, like, music-wise, like, a DJ's job is to play what the people want to hear or what they like. And, you know, both guys had records at the time, but, like, if one person from somebody's crew was in the building, it was like, you know, you could potentially get beat up for playing a record, you know? And it was just affecting a lot of people. So
when they beat up the DJ for playing a record, who would like take over?
That's a good shout.
And I would just have to get back up there.
Put some R&B, Ram.
That's when you hear Candy start playing. Shut this shit down, bro.
DJs would get beat up, yeah.
See, so man gets snuffed at the deck.
So what happens? Like, someone just takes over after, or like,
I've never been there for that.
Yeah,
I've never actually seen a DJ get beat up. But I would assume he might hold his own, and
you know, I wouldn't want to play next. Is what I'm saying,
definitely not.
Nah,
they already.
I'd be scared.
Yeah. Yeah. What's that?
It might be silent 107.9 for a minute. Might be hearing no music.
They're talking. That's crazy. Oh, but a couple quick fire ones before we get into some. Go on.
No, it's just about the label.
Like, yeah. That doesn't get spoken about enough.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're not credited.
Yes, because you definitely speak about it. How do you feel about your artists? Like, do you think they need to do more, or do you let them do their thing?
I'll take a chain if Uzi don't.
You know what I'm saying? If he don't want to wear it, give it to me. I'll rep it.
I think one of the reasons why you could make a comment like, I speak about it, but it doesn't get spoken about enough, is most likely because our artists don't scream it as much as we scream it. If you heard Generation Now from our artists, like you hear from us, Generation Now would be in a different space.
Yeah, because it's like Young Money. Like, every single person that's on Young Money is like, Young Money, like,
yeah,
to this day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You used to be on like a Triple H thing. You know, D Generation X, T-shirts printed and shit.
Word.
Yeah.
Burned it off. So I didn't know about it.
But even beyond that, I mean, respectfully, like, you didn't know about it at all. You didn't know I had a label?
Nah. Do you know who's on the label?
Jack Harlow
I've seen now, but I didn't know.
You didn't know until I came today?
Do you know why? I blame DJ Khaled.
Okay.
Why?
I'll be fucking honest. He made me not want to listen to DJ albums for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I got fed up. Everything was too amped for me, so I didn't want to risk it anymore. With like listening to others. Like, I'm cool with mixtapes. I listen to that shit all day. Like, but there's like someone will do something, it will just like write off the like even rap at the moment is a bit meh. So a lot of us are just into Afro beats. Yeah. So we'll just miss a big period of time at the moment.
Yeah, there could be some
because
shit
of the space you're in personally, you just be like, I'm not too interested in rap no more. I don't know these artists, so I'm getting on, I can't relate. There's a whole bunch of things, but yeah, I didn't know there was a label. And yeah, I just found out who was part of it today. Yeah. So
I mean, yeah, I'm not I can't act like I'm totally surprised. So I get it. And, you know, I do agree with you.
But how do you feel about it?
I feel like, you know, as artists, they could do more.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a businessman right
that's
there.
That's the two artists that you have signed or you have more
There's
as
more.
Well?
We have other signed. Those are our biggest artists.
Is it Tyler as well? Is his name Tyler?
Lil Tyler.
Yeah. I see him on 20 Versus One. That's how I even... Like, that's what's so interesting these days, that in terms of
how
artists,
I haven't
even heard a tune of his, and I see him on 20 Versus One, and I'm like, okay, who's this?
Yeah.
A couple tunes, and it's like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep him in that 360, boy. I mean, they ain't got no choice.
there's just a cutoff age of, like, where you just stop listening to new artists, because it's just too much. You've already got all your old catalog of people, and you're... People you know, you came into Young Thug and Baby and Gunna, and that's where it kind of stops for me.
How old are you?
31.
31.
Is where I'm like, I'm all right discovering new people at the moment.
So you're cool, like you don't feel like you need anything though?
I do. I don't want to find someone that's got like 3 songs. I need you to have a mixtape and an album, a catalogue, so I can indulge.
Right.
To see if you're gonna survive.
Yeah.
What's the most recent artist that you feel like you've added to your repertoire, like? All right, I'm going to check their radio on this streaming platform.
From it really could be Gunna and Baby, you know?
Oh, really?
It really could be that far back.
Oh. Yeah, that's some years back.
That's some years back. Yeah. I don't know.
I
know people's names. Couldn't tell you many songs of some
okay,
people.
Okay, well, so what about even from the UK?
It's easier up in the UK.
Yeah.
50-50, it's kind of the same, because back in the day, I never used to listen to like Pot of Paper.
But you now that, you're listening
but now
to,
I listen
yeah,
to
yeah,
Pot
yeah.
of Paper. Mm.
You know that... Potter? You know Pot of Paper?
Mm-mm.
Oh, need to check him out, man.
Yeah.
NSG, J.O., like...
I know what you're saying, because it's like there's some people that I've just started listening to properly now, but they've been doing it for a long time. Do you know what I mean? But I think it's just in the way the UK sound has developed... It's easier to consume for me anyway, because a lot of the people started with grime, and for me, I wasn't big on grime. So
that.
Now it's becoming like rap. A lot more people, I'm like, okay, Potter is one that I'd say I listen to, but not as much as I do now, but he's obviously in and out of jail, so it's like...
TikTok ruined the game where everyone was going for this commercial sound. So I was just like, let me just stick with what I know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's safe.
Even Cench. Central's been around for a long time.
Really?
He's been around for a minute, but...
What's a minute? Just curious, because he looks super young.
He
was on...
Youngins Ain't Where Don't... Sutton.
He was on a remix.
He's been around for like more than five.
Okay.
More than 6 years.
Yeah.
More than 6 years.
Who's in your playlist from the UK that, you know, gets consistent run?
Dave for me.
Yeah.
Cench.
Getz. Skepta.
Skepta,
big time.
Gigs.
Mm. Yeah. Potter.
Nuts.
Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's good.
Who are you fucking with from the UK?
I fuck with Crystal.
Yeah.
Fuck with her.
I fuck with Nipper.
He's the R&B.
Shout him out.
Yeah. I like Dave is fire.
Yeah.
Skepta is fire. Gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Central, of course. D-Block Europe.
Oh yeah.
C China is fire.
Okay. Okay.
That's interesting.
Don't laugh too much. You'll get on stream about us.
In like Piccadilly.
Yeah.
I like that video.
she's about that damn life, though. She's about it.
Yeah, Digga D.
Yeah.
Like we got talent here.
Yeah,
like,
we got
a lot of it.
It's just good talent. It's just a Eddie. Smaller country. Heady, like it's just yes. a smaller country. Yeah. So yeah. Like, numbers wise, I don't know how you know that labels. But they got TikTok. They got to see the numbers first before they invest some more. But there's like crazy talent here. Lots of underground artists as well.
And a lot of like even R&B, like Georgia Smith is fire.
Yeah.
I got some shit over here.
For sure. Yeah.
But
Jazz Karis. Jazz Karis is fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, before we forget as well, Grammy.
I got one.
I got one.
Shout out to my man Don Cannon too. He just brought two home for the team.
Cool. What, the Cannon?
Yeah, the Cannon.
The Cannon.
That's one of my favorite songs.
That's cold.
So what's the Grammy day like?
The Grammy day was crazy because the day of the Grammy. And
you weren't even there.
I wasn't there.
He was beating the competition on the competition stage. Look at you.
I was at Dreamville Festival about to perform with Jeezy, Tip, and Lil Wayne for doing my Gangsta Grill set. The nominations were Tyler, Call Me If You Get Lost. Mm-hmm. King's Disease 2, Cole, what's that album called? What's it called? Preseason or something?
Off Season. Yeah.
Off Season, Donda, and Certified Lover Boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like we had a shot, you know? Now, mind you, my brother Lake, my business partner, the day I went to the studio to record with Tyler, and he came the second session, he didn't come the first session, and he heard what we did already, and he heard the music. He was like, you're gonna win a Grammy for this.
Right. He
predicted it off top. So when the nominations came in, it was kind of like, wow. And the day of the show, you know, Tyler, the Grammys, if I'm not mistaken, knew Tyler wasn't coming. So they didn't televise the category that year. I don't know why they didn't televise the category this year.
They didn't televise it this year. Album,
it's crazy.
Crazy.
Like, yeah.
Especially when a winner is there. Like, it's just crazy.
Oh, man.
Wow.
But so I just felt like, all right, so, you know, I just felt like we had a shot. You know, I mean, it was is also some serious competition. Like,
yeah, you got against Kanye West.
That shit is
J. Cole, yeah, Nas, Drake.
Like, it's a big year. So thankfully I had something to do where my mind wasn't all about that. And you know, I had to prepare for the Dreamville Festival. As soon as I get there, you know, I go to do an interview with Wayno and who else was there? Rob Markman. Wayno and Rob Markman. Shout out to my guys. I sat down with Wayno and Rob Markman, and you know, Wayno's like on his phone, and he just tells me like, "Hold on, excuse me, draw me." Like interrupts me like, "Just announced, you know, best rap album."
Crazy.
Tyler, Creator, Call Me If You Get Lost, and it was surreal, bro. Like, you know, just to like, it's such a 360 moment. Like to be there performing with Tip, Jeezy, and Wayne, these guys that I started with, you know, damn near 20 years ago, making mixtapes with. And then, you know, this guy that grew up listening to us and being inspired, then doubles back to get me for his album. And, you know, it's like, it's this whole new wave. And, you know, here we are winning a Grammy for some shit I started, like, when I was damn near broke, like, you know, just trying to live out my dreams. It was insane. And you know, it was a moment for me, like, and it was just like, you know, it was just so surreal because of like what I never, you know, I've been successful, like, even during this time that Gangsta Grillz wasn't as hot as it may have once been, like, you know, from the success of Generation Now and me being in another phase of my career. And then out of nowhere, you know, Tyler has this genius idea to put me on his album. And now there's this whole new resurgence of people wanting to do Gangsta Grillz again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my phone off the hook of all these projects that are, you know, coming out and so forth. So it's just, you never know how life works, you know what I mean? Mm. Especially when you lay the foundation and you lay the groundwork, you know, what's to come.
Yeah, that's cold, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. Tyler's got, well, he's part of one of my favorite videos ever. That thing with Funk Flex.
Oh my god.
That
gosh.
Shit was fucking hilarious.
That's the whole interview, right?
The whole thing
is hilarious.
Like, the fact he was like, whoa, whoa. Yeah. What made you go with that? Like, and he kept going. He's looking at it like, I'm going to keep rapping, bro.
Strolling the whole time.
Cool. Okay, just through this. We've got 10 minutes left.
Is it?
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. All the cameras.
No, he's got a go.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, boom. What we do to wrap up the show is ask 10 quick questions, trivia questions, to hopefully get you on the leaderboard, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's the top three?
Our wives. They came here and they took top spot with 18 and a half.
It would be the wives.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, listen.
Smart. They picked us. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Sloan and Charlie Mace.
Yeah.
So that's the leaderboard.
Sloan's an artist and Charlie Mace.
Got King Promise
on
there.
18 and a half. They busting ass.
Mr. Easy.
They are.
Shit.
A couple people.
They bust it wide for us.
Individually.
Individually. Not together.
It's crazy. So
like a freak off.
You got
that's a dangerous word now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of teasing anyway.
Gotta watch that.
Yeah.
Are all your wives friends?
Yeah. Oh, they've even been on the podcast before. So. That's fine. Yeah.
So
well, obviously, on the they're on the board. They've been on the podcast.
Yeah. True.
Don't worry about it. So you got a couple lifelines. I would say you could phone a partner, but you got a little entourage back there, so you can ask them for help one time. They can't use internet, Spotify, no form of nothing to help. Neither can you. Multiple choice one time. So if you're stuck, you get multiple choice. We'll read you four questions. Hopefully, you pick the right four answers. Hopefully, you pick the right one.
Oh, every question I get four.
One time.
Oh, one time.
One time. One time you can ask a 90s baby. So if I ask you the question, you can ask 10 more VP for help one time. You can skip. If you skip, you don't lose a point. For every question you get wrong, you lose a point. And the final question is worth 10 points.
Okay.
You ready? All right. First question. What state is in between Alabama and South Carolina?
Bro. Someone's going to be angry.
Georgia?
Yes. Yeah, that was some help. That was some help.
Bro.
It's a bro.
Bro.
I would have got it without the bro.
Yeah, right, cool. Three movies T.I. has starred in.
Takers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. ATL.
Mm-hmm.
Ant-Man.
Yes.
He was in Ant-Man. Oh,
yeah,
great.
He was. This one's a little tough. What is the best-selling luxury car in America?
Multiple choice, or phone a friend.
And now what happens if I get a question wrong?
You lose a point.
Go multiple choice on this so early?
Yeah.
How many questions is it?
This is my last one. You got three there as well.
But we can have easier questions. We can have harder questions.
You never know.
And I get multiple choice with each of y'all?
No.
Just once.
All right, I got multiple choice.
Okay. Is it Mercedes? Rolls Royce, Lexus.
See, I was going to say Lexus, bro.
Or Ford.
It's Ford is a luxury, or is this a trick?
This is multiple choice.
Multiple choice.
Is it luxury to you?
Now, when I get the multiple choice, if I use a lifeline,
if you ask them, that's also another lifeline. Another
lifeline. Yeah. See, I was going to say Lexus, but the Ford kind of threw me off, but you might be trying to throw me off. Lexus is luxury.
hey, that's enough over there.
It's not Ford. Ford's not luxury.
Get your mind off Ford.
Yeah, get your mind off Ford. Yeah.
Which one of the other two? Rolls Royce, Mercedes?
It's not Rolls Royce for sure. You said the most.
best-selling.
The best-selling was obviously not Rolls-Royce. Yeah. Niggas can't afford Rolls-Royce. I think it's Lexus, personally. I'm going to go Lexus.
You're correct. It's Lexus.
Well done. Mm. There you go.
And I waste you. Yeah, what is he talking about?
Like, that's you know when niggas get rich, they start picking.
Yeah. Poor man. It is, but that's... Exactly, but that's why it's the most luxury brand. That's why I knew it was going to be Lexus. I could have saved my fucking multiple choice.
That's all right. That's all right. All right. What year did Crenshaw come out?
In 2013.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. Rest in peace, Nipsey. That's what my brother. Before Biggie died, how many albums did he have?
Before Biggie died, he only had one album.
Damn, that's incorrect.
It's two.
No, it's not.
No.
Is it?
The one came out after
he came out after he died.
Life After Death.
Came out after he died.
You're right.
Got him. Just checking.
That's an extra point.
That's crazy.
Was it a posthumous?
Posthumous. Yeah.
That's a humorous.
That was crazy. Yeah.
I thought you were trying to trick me by saying that. Like I was gonna go too, and I was like, no, he died. He only had one album.
All right. Cool. Which rapper won the first Grammy?
Okay.
He's from Philly. His name is Will Smith. He also goes by Fresh Prince.
No, it's Meek Mill. No, I'm playing.
A rapper that day. All right, cool. That was a good one. Three for three.
Six for six.
Oh, okay. Damn, you need to make sure.
All right, cool. Well, you probably will get this one. It's my questions now. First question, Get Rich or Die Trying by 50 Cent went platinum how many times?
Can I say like a certain number? Like
it has to be a specific
number. To be the specific one. I got two questions after that.
Yeah.
So you got phone a partner, ask a 90s baby, or skip. If you skip, you don't lose a point.
Yeah.
I can ask one of y'all to answer or what you think?
I don't know.
I got an idea.
I feel like it was 11. Am I right? It's either 9 or 11.
Are you asking? I'm asking. That's your lifeline.
That's your lifeline. Okay. No phones. He said. He's about to. That sounds like a nigga's about to lie.
Sorry, he was texting me.
Okay, I'm sure he was.
Anybody?
What?
How many times did Get Rich or Die Trying go platinum? Is it 11?
I think I got you.
You do?
But that's another lifeline.
I feel like it's 11.
I'm going to have to count you down.
If he hasn't give one, that's 10. It's not used. So if you've got help, Tim.
I don't want to lose a point either.
6. 5.
So if I don't answer, 4. I don't lose a point?
If you say skip, that's a lifeline. You can skip and not lose a point.
And I'm at 6 points right now. Mm-hmm. And if I get it wrong,
you lose a point.
I think you should skip.
All right.
Skip.
Don't answer. Okay, is it nine?
No, it's 8.
Oh,
yeah, right, close. Yeah.
Interesting.
Damn, it's 8.
Yeah, all right, cool. All
right, you would have missed it.
I'd have got it wrong.
Question 2.
Good lifeline.
Stankonia was released by which hip hop group or artist?
I'll guess.
Correct.
Man says Stankonia. Put some stank on it.
Okay. All right. And my last question here is
this worth 10 points?
No.
One after.
There's one more. Yeah. Which artist released a song, Death of YOLO, after Drake popularized the acronym?
Oh.
Death of YOLO.
Got him.
We had your ears to the street.
We got him. We got him.
Can I ask one of y'all?
I don't actually know.
And you guys don't know either?
They can't answer anyway.
No, they can.
Oh, yeah, they can answer. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
If anyone knows.
Death of YOLO.
Who released a song called Death of YOLO?
A song called Death. It's not nobody that's Is it an American?
Yeah. Yeah, he must not be around no more.
Oh, well, yeah, that wasn't. So.
If you would have said the Def, who released a song called "The Death of Auto-Tune," I would know that.
Yeah, we know that.
The Death of YOLO, they're not relevant. Let me chill.
You know,
could be on Gangsta Girls.
Let me pull that one back. I don't have nothing left to. I can't skip or nothing.
You could just lose a point. It's fine though. Huh. You're doing really well.
I don't even.
You can still make top two if you get it wrong. You can still make top two
if you get it wrong. So
if you get it wrong, yeah,
you might. So not. I can be either two or three or one or two.
You could be two or three.
Mm. Okay. All right. Fuck it.
All right. It was Joey Badass.
Damn.
Yeah.
Mm.
Damn, boy.
Damn. All right. We go into question 10. You got 6 points on the board. The final question is worth 10 points. You get to pick who asks you the question. We'll tell you our categories and hopefully you pick the most sensible one to win 10 points. I've got the Super Bowl.
Young Jeezy.
I've got United States.
What's crazy is the way this game works, the Jeezy question is probably the hardest question. The United States is probably the easiest question, and the Super Bowl is probably in the midst, because normally you would think I would go Jeezy, Super Bowl, United States, but that shit probably there is probably easy as shit. But I'm not gonna know. At when I'm done, can y'all tell me your question?
Yeah.
There's opportunities after you pick.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll start with the obvious.
Jeezy.
Right.
Hope you're watching this, Jeezy. What are the things that Young Jeezy was awarded for being Trapper of the Year?
Oh,
that's a good question.
Very good question.
Oh.
It's in the bars.
Now he needs to think of the song. Now he needs to think of the song.
And you do have lifelines. Ask a 90s baby. I can't help you.
So but you got it over there, right?
You do have.
Someone has over there.
You can ask.
Oh, yeah, you can ask.
Them.
Yeah.
You can still use them.
Like.
A Rolly watch, two pots, and three scales.
There you go. He was a Rolly.
There's a missing ingredient.
Oh. Okay. The ingredient that goes in the pots, right?
You
didn't
say that in the song, man. Rolly watch, two pots.
You have to rewind the bar a bit. You have to rewind. You're going forward. You need to rewind. What did he say before that? What did the man say before that? Jeezy's looking at you right now like, I fucking told you all the ingredients to fucking do this shit. Come on. Think about it.
Sing the song.
What's
the line
before that?
Damn.
Damn, guys.
Ooh.
He still got Arts of 90, baby.
He does.
Do one of you lot know it?
Do you know it?
Is it the stuff that goes in the pots?
I don't know. You tell me.
I want to say Coke.
I was going to say baking soda.
Correct. It's not,
baking soda.
Correct. He says a lifetime supply of baking soda.
Yeah, that's
and clientele.
Yeah.
A Rolly watch, two pots, and three scales. That shit is fire.
But yeah, you got it. You saved your lifelines very well.
That shit like a national anthem. Put your hand on your chest and sing that one. That was cold. Damn. So what do you get?
Say that.
Got 16.
Damn. Ooh. And you're here to stay.
You're up to second.
Damn.
You're here to stay.
While I'm organizing.
I'm right where I'm supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why.
Yeah.
While I organize this.
What were your questions before we?
My one was which two United States don't observe daylight saving time?
Which two United States? Oh. So,
yeah, that's one.
Oh, it is Arizona.
Yeah. And there's what? And Hawaii. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hawaii. Okay. Mine was
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The City Chiefs have won 3 of the last 5 Super Bowls. Who are the other 2 teams in the last 5 years?
Who are the other 2 teams?
Yep.
Besides the 49ers, you mean?
49ers didn't win.
No, Kansas City.
Who won?
Yeah, who won?
Oh, the Rams and hold on, give me a second. I'm going to figure it out. I just think that. So the Chiefs won. Then they beat the Eagles. The Rams won, and then Tampa Bay won.
There you go.
So you would have got that 10 points either way.
That was solid. That was solid.
Good stuff. You're up there in second. Immovable. Nice.
That's it. That's a real competitive man.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to be the top. Because I'm owning London right now. Like, I'm at the top of the charts in London. I'm Billboard. I mean, shout you out. When's the project coming, or do you have an idea? Anything to, or
about summertime.
Summertime cool. Yeah, project is coming. Name?
I'm working on it.
Got
an idea.
Wicked. Shout you out for coming, man. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, man.
Anytime. And other than that, you know the theory, bro.
Nice, baby. It's crazy.
Cool.
Cool.
Wicked.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.